ancient words are going to be read to us. I was going to say by an ancient man, but I daren't say such a thing. Thanks, Dave.
Morning, all. Isaiah 26, verses 1 to 8, page 497 in the church Bible. A song of praise. In that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation, its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays a lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down and feet on the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. Amen.
So we're going to look this morning. Before I begin, or in the words of the Irishman, before I speak, I'd like to say a few words. I'm not Gary Ryan. If you were expecting Gary to be here this morning, you have to wait a few months because his visit to us has been postponed until October. So, but he will be with us then. So apologies for that. But we're going to look at God's word this morning, nevertheless. And they're going to look this morning at, I suppose, something that quite often we have, or the title is something that you're quite familiar with, PPI. Okay, so that's pretty exciting, isn't it? But we're going to look at Isaiah 26, and we're going to look at perfect peace information. Okay, so some information about perfect peace that we all need from time to time. Let's just pause for a moment's prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you that we can come together this morning to encourage our hearts and to build us up. And we pray that you'll bless us and do us good as we spend this time together. Thank you for those ancient words. We pray that they will be ever true in our hearts today, so that we can leave this place more determined to experience your peace and your power and your blessing. And so we commit ourselves to you, praying that you would just help us to shut out those things that distract and to concentrate on you and worship you in our consideration of your word just now. This we pray, believing in the name which is above every name, the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A little quiz to begin with. Okay, anyone any ideas where that is? Who? Swindon. Okay, that is, Alan's not here, otherwise he would have said it was a football stadium. I think that's a football stadium, isn't it? Just out of there? Yes? You no idea, nor have I. That's not true. It is. Okay, but it's an interesting sort of road configuration, isn't it? Called the, what's it called? Magic Roundabout. That's right. Okay, and I was just wondering if you know how many roundabouts are in the UK and in France and in the US of A. How many roundabouts in the UK? Too many. Okay. Any ideas? No. How many? 400. Okay. There in the UK, there's 26,000 roundabouts in the UK. What about France? How many roundabouts in France? Any ideas? How many? 5,000. Okay, in France there are 32,000 roundabouts. What about now? What about the US of A? Okay, there. That's figures from, I think, last year. Now, you would have been right to have said none a few years ago when I was on a preaching tour in the US of A. I was staying in North Carolina, and I was taken to Duke University, not to study, but they showed me a roundabout. This is the roundabout, you know. I didn't say we got 26,000 of them at home, but they were really excited to show me their one and only roundabout in America. But things have changed just slightly. Well, that was at Duke University. And Duke University, what on earth have I told you all that about, you think? I'm just getting into Duke University because they did a special study. Not on roundabouts, but they did a special study on peace of mind. And it was quite interesting, the common ground that they came up with for emotional and mental stability. Number one, they came up with the absence of suspicion and resentment. Nurturing a grudge is a major factor for unhappiness, they said. Number two, don't live in the past. Unwholesome preoccupation with old mistakes and failures leads to depression. Force yourself to stay focused on the living word. Resist the temptation to withdraw and become a recluse during periods of emotional stress. Refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Accept the fact that nobody gets through life without some sorrow or misfortune. And then, fifthly, there are lots of others, but this is the last one I'm going to share with you. Cultivate the old-fashioned virtue of love, humor, compassion, and loyalty. Well, that's interesting. And the whole article was very interesting on the peace of mind and the information we need for peace in our hearts. Because we all go through 101 different experiences and circumstances that sort of rock our peace, that take, you know, the chair from beneath us. And you know, we find ourselves in all sorts of turmoil. But Isaiah 26 and verses 3 and 4 says this: the Lord gives perfect peace. And if the Lord gives perfect peace and I'm in turmoil and the circumstances are sort of crowding in on me, I need to know something of this Lord who gives perfect peace. The Lord gives perfect peace to those whose faith is firm. So always trust the Lord, because he is forever our mighty rock. We hear about peace plans and peace talks. But while there is lust, sin, and hate in the world, we'll never know real peace. God's purpose for each one of us, God's purpose for you and me here this morning, is to know personal peace. But that's only possible through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray with 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceably and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Isaiah was writing about this perfect peace, wasn't he, in the opening verses of this chapter, chapter 26. He's describing a strong city whose walls are salvation, whose gates are righteousness. The picture is one of security, confidence, and safety for the people living within the city of God. It's a beautiful language, shows where this perfect peace comes from, the extent of this perfect peace, and the information we need to get it experimentally. So let's just look then, first of all, where does it come from? Again, verse 2:26 of Isaiah. You will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is a mighty rock or a rock eternal. Safety and peace of mind isn't the absence from danger, but the presence of the Lord. And our peace comes from an unfailing God. The emphasis here is on the name Yahweh. The title, underlines the covenant-keeping character of the Almighty Living God. Because He is Jehovah, we can trust Him. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:13, if you are faithless, and sometimes we are, He remains faithful. And Jehovah, we can trust His promises because He is Jehovah, because He is the Almighty, Living, Creator God. We can trust His promises. And 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says that these promises are God, are yes in Christ. They are amen. They're absolutely true. Every word of God accomplishes His perfect will because they are trustworthy and His character is totally dependable. Isn't that encouraging to know that whatever circumstances we go through, we can trust an unfailing God. He'll never let you down. He'll never give you up. And no one will be able to wrench us from His hands. Because He is Jehovah, we can trust His promises. Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things God works together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His promises. This sovereign Jehovah Lord never changes. And Ephesians 1 and verse 11 says that in Him we are chosen and predestined according to His plan. He's working everything out into conformity with His perfect will. How wonderful to know such an unfailing God. And to understand and to live by this fact is to know perfect peace. He's not only an unfailing God, but He's an unchanging God. You will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Himself is the mighty rock or the rock eternal. Any illustration to try and understand or get how great God is would fail miserably, wouldn't it, really? Any illustration would fail to show God, God's complete unchanging character. But Isaiah, he has the idea of a rock. And a rock changes very little throughout the centuries. I know erosion may occur, but it's very hard to detect. And let's make sure that our source of perfect peace is this unchanging and unfailing God. And we trust Him. And I wonder, can I ask a question? Are you trusting Him fully, or are you trusting in the things of the world? We need to throw off those things of the world and fix our minds on Jesus. His word promises that we will have perfect peace and it will surround us if we surrender ourselves totally and fully to Him. So, secondly, what's the extent of this perfect peace? Verse 3, Isaiah 26, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. While that statement is complete in and of itself, it's amplified in the New Testament, isn't it? And this perfect peace is described as the peace of justification. Now, I'm going to give you three theological words, big long words. What on earth is that all about? I think it would be good for us just to look at them. Bear with me as we have these words. Justification. Look at Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace has been made possible because of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. This peace is not a peace made with God, but rather a God-made peace in our hearts. There's that wall of hostility that exists between us and our great creator God. You know, we were born in sin. We were in hostility to God. We didn't think about the things of God or love God at all. There was that barrier. And that has been removed when the Lord Jesus died and rose again from the dead. That wall of hostility has been removed through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer put it like this: I hear the words of love, I gaze upon the blood, I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. This peace is not so much a nice feeling, but a fact. Once true, always true. Peace with God is different from the peace of God. The peace of God is that calmness of mind which Christians can have in any and every circumstances of life. And sometimes we have some pretty difficult circumstances to cope with, don't we? We don't understand them. Why should this come? Why should I be allowed to go through that? 101 things that crowd in upon us. And the peace of God brings a calmness and a confidence in the Christian's life, those who've been justified, those who've been saved, because we know that we can cast all our anxiety on God, leave it to Him, throw it at His feet, and it brings us a peace, a calmness of mind. And the peace of God, the peace with God, is a fixed thing as we come and acknowledge our sin and ask the Lord Jesus to save us and live within us. We've been justified. I suppose a simple way of thinking about that long word, in the sight of God, because of what Jesus did upon the cross, is just as though we'd never sinned. Isn't that amazing? Just as though we'd never sinned. Because Jesus has dealt with our sin, removed it as far as the east is from the west. And so the extent of this justification, peace is for all of us who are Christians. And also there's the peace of sanctification. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I told you there were several long words. This is the second one. These are some amazing words. They're not complicated to understand. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. That's so what's that all mean? Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, every circumstance, whatever the world throws at you, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus wants to minister peace into your hearts. He wants to preach peace into your hearts. Why? Because He is peace. Before He went back to heaven, the Lord Jesus said to His disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. That doesn't mean to say He's going to remove all those difficulties, but we can trust Him and we can know and rely upon Him. And not only does He minister peace into our hearts, but He maintains that peace as well. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For He Himself, that's the Lord Jesus, He Himself is our peace. And we need to understand that he's removed that barrier, that hostility, and we can be one with him and know the peace. The whole idea of this peace is one of completeness as he works in our lives, as he's sanctifying us and knocking off the rough corners, if you like. The whole idea is completeness and harmony. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews tells us about this great shepherd of the sheep being our peace, made possible through the death of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. A great theologian, Matthew Henry, said this: peace is such a precious jewel, I'd give anything for it apart from truth. Peace is described as, you know, the peace of justification, the peace of sanctification, that God is at work in our lives, but also the peace of justification as well. Look at Psalm 37, verse 37. Think of the bright future awaiting for those who love the Lord. The Christian can face death and the beyond because the Lord says in Psalm 23 and verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This peace will be complete when we see the Lord Jesus face to face. One day, we're going to be in heaven. And a few years ago, I could have said a statement like that, and lots of people would have said, amen. You see, this peace is going to be complete when we see the Lord Jesus face to face in the very anticipation of that glorious day. That anticipation of that amazing heaven will bring us peace right here, right now. That we're going to be with him forever will bring us peace today, because one day we're going to be with him. 3 days before Baptist minister F.D. Myers died in 1870, he wrote a letter to his friend. It went a bit like this. My doctors tell me that my hours are numbered. I write this to you with confidence. Please don't bother to answer this letter, because before you receive it, I'll probably be in heaven. I'll see you in the morning. The morning when we wake up in heaven itself. That brings us peace here and now, that one day when life is over, we're going to be with him forever and ever. Amen. In his book, 30 Days of Blessing, Max Lucado writes this: the Brazilians taught me a beautiful, the beauty of a blessing. Here's the scene repeated in Brazil thousands of times a day. It's early morning, and young Marcus is getting ready to leave for school. He's gathering his books, and he's heading towards the door. He pauses at his father's chair, examines his father's face, and Marcus asks, "A blessing, Father?" The father raises his hand and says, "God bless you, my son." Marcus smiles, hurries out the door. Father and child are apart for the day. The blessing requested and the blessing willingly given is enough for that son throughout the day. And that's what happens to you and me. We come into the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, asking him to bless us as we begin this day. And he willingly blesses us. And with the blessings of the Lord comes peace right here, right now. And then one day, perfect peace, perfect conformity to Christ, which will be peace in heaven forever and ever. Wow. So, How can we get this peace? How can I sign up to it? Sounds like a good deal to me. Like lots of those good deals, or unlike lots of those good deals that we have, people come to us and with a good deal, it sort of leads us a bit sort of flat, doesn't it? And doesn't match up to all that they've said. But this peace will match up to everything that God has said. So how do we get it? You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the mighty rock eternal. As we examine these words of the prophet, we find out how we get this perfect peace. First, what we need to do is think on God. The word mind in that verse, those whose minds are steadfast, is an interesting word. It can be translated imagination. And it's in our imagination that that unrest can come. We think about all of those difficulties, all of those issues. What's going to happen tomorrow? And in our imagination, if we're not careful, it brings unrest. It brings turmoil. It brings fear. But when we learn to fix our minds on Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. As we fix our minds on Jehovah, we know his perfect peace and rest. Someone once said, let the mind of the master master your mind. And then we're urged to think, aren't we, in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. The mind must be stayed upon Jehovah. Think on him. Think on this great God that we have, and what peaceful hearts we will have as we think of him rather than discuss earthly pleasures and pursuits and even problems. Let's think about Jehovah. And then, how do we get it? Well, we think on Jehovah and we trust in God as well. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is our rock eternal. Trust him when dark doubts assail us. Trust him when our strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him. He is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. The more we think on God, the more we'll trust in God. That's exactly what happened with Job, for example. A man who had everything and a man who lost everything. Loved ones, possessions, health. In the middle of all his trouble, he could look up to heaven, Job 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. How thrilling to know whatever you're going through, however much you've lost, we can trust in God. We can think on him and we can trust in him. And then there was Daniel, for example, thrown in the lion's den. No panic around, only peace. How could that be? With these ferocious and hungry lions. The only one that was panicking was the king who'd thrown him into the lions and then in the first place. But when his majesty appeared the next morning, he cried to Daniel, Are you still alive? Daniel answered, chapter 6 and verse 21, may the king live forever. My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouths. They didn't harm me. What an amazing testimony. And the same can be true with us. We go through some really, really difficult circumstances and situations, but we can think on God and we can trust in him. He'll never let us down. He'll shut the lion's mouths and he'll bless us. Well, you could think of Peter in prison, waiting to be executed the following day, but that didn't disturb his peace. Or we could think of Paul on that raging sea, with the shipwreck. You know the story. Everyone from the captain down were in panic mode, but Paul stood up. Acts chapter 27, verse 25, and said, so keep up your courage, men. I have faith in God. Perfect peace. There are some troubling situations that come into our life. How do we get this peace? Think on God, how great Jehovah is. Trust him to work his purpose out in your life, day by day, moment by moment. And so that we can enjoy this peace of God only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicholas Ridley, Bishop of London and Westminster, was burnt at the stake for witnessing for Christ. And the night before Ridley's first execution, his brother offered to remain with him in that prison cell. He said, I'd like to assist him, help him, comfort him, just be with him in the last few hours of his life. Ridley declined the offer and replied, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bed as I normally go to bed and have done for the rest of all of my life. And I'm going to just go to sleep and rest. He was able to do that with that execution the following day, because he knew the peace of God. And he said, I know the peace of God, and I can rest in the strength of his everlasting arms. I can rest in the everlasting of the arms of the Lord to meet my every need. And we can do the same. You're not going to face execution tomorrow, are you? It might feel like it, though. Might feel pretty tough. But we can trust in God as we think on him. We can rest in the arms of the living, almighty God to meet our every need. And he will, because he is great and faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word and pray that we will gain comfort and strength from it as we consider how experimentally we can know this peace in our hearts today, right here and right now. So we give you thanks in the Savior's worthy name. Amen.